I was going to do. But, you know, I can mess up names. I can mess up names. Like sometimes when I'm reading all of those names in the Bible, let me stop right now. Sister Verdi's here. God bless you, Sister Verdi. It's been a while. She's came out. She's been coming out. God bless you, Mother Verdi. You know, some things you take habitually. If you wanted to know a man that could mess up a name, my dad could. Amen? So I got some of that. Not all of it, but I do have some of that. So rather than let me be tongue-twisted and tongue-tied, I'm going to ask Minister Ricardo to be embarrassed when he can't read it, not me today, all right? So you're going to have to get your Bible, and where I'm going to ask you, when I ask you to read, and when he gets up to read, y'all pray for him. First Chronicles 27. First Chronicles 27, 25 to 34. 27, 25 to 34. Now, I'm not ready for to read it yet, but get ready, get ready, get ready, get ready. As a matter of fact, you can, huh? 27
chapter, verse 25
to 34. Amen. So I'm going to give you some time to get it together a little bit. All right. Start practicing them names that are in there, some of them words. Amen. So I would like to ask you this morning, have you ever felt like nobody notices what you do until you screw it up? Amen? For some reason, a lot of people, because of that, they like to do things behind the scene. They don't like to be up front. Amen? Some people like to be in the background doing the lights, than the one standing on stage doing praise and worship. But then you got people who love to stand up front and do praise and worship, and they're not going to do the lights. They're not going to do the kitchen and all of those kind of things. We have our own priorities, right? But when we do a thankless job, what we perceive to be a thankless job, we get disappointed, we get upset, we get frustrated. And then one of the worst feelings in the world is that all of a sudden, as you're doing this job, you know, your spot gets blown up. And when your spot gets blown up, everybody turns and looks at you. Like right now, we don't see Janari. He's up there working. But if something happened to this mic and it starts popping and things start going up and down, what's the first thing we're going to do? Turn around and look at him like he did something wrong. He's going to work feverishly to try to get everything together. But while things are going fine, he's a little bit invisible to us. If everything's going well, we don't turn around and look at him. We don't turn around and say, hi. We just keep on doing what we're doing. Amen? And sometimes in church, we have people that are doing things and we just ignore it. But I want you to know that God is working through those people to present the gospel in a way to people that we don't just understand. I want to tell each and every person this morning that your role is just as important to God as any man or woman who stands on the stage, whoever plays the drum or the keyboard, amen, whoever opens the doors of the church, amen, your job is just as important. And when you don't feel appreciated, many times you feel like giving up. But God's words encourages us not to give up. We might get tired, but don't give up. Because your treasures are in heaven and not here. And what you do, no matter what it is, it's not in vain. So don't let not being seen all the time keep you down. Don't give up. God has equipped each and every one of us with gifts that are useful and necessary to the body of Christ. Galatians 6 and 9 says, "So we must not grow weary in doing good, for in due time we will reap if we do not give up." Amen? So at this time I'm going to ask Minister Ricardo to read the word. First Chronicles 27, 25 to 34.
Y'all pray for me. "And over the king's treasure was Asvathi, the son of Adel, and over the storehouse in the fields, in the cities, and in the villages, and in the castle with Jonathan, the son of Uzziah. And over them that did the work of the field for tillage of the ground was Ezri, the son of Chelbias, Domini. And over the vineyards was Shimnai, the Ramathai, over the increase of the vineyards for the wine cellars was Zebedi, the Shipnites. And over the olive trees and the sycamore trees that was where in the low plains were Baal-Hanna, the Gershurite. And over the cellars of the oil was Joaz. And over the herds that fed the Sharon was Shirai and the Shararite. And over the herds that were in the village was Shaphai, the son of Adiah. And over the camels also was Obi and the Ishmaelites. And over the asses was Jeththadi, the Merarite. And over the flocks was Ezai, the Hagarite. And all these were the rulers of the substance which was King David." Was it verse 32 as well?
34.
"Also, Jonathan, David's uncle, was a counselor, a wise man, and a scribe. And Jehiel, the son of Hachmonah, was with the king's son. And was the king's counselor. And Hushai, the Archite, was the king's companion." Last verse. "And after Ahilaphi was Jozadai, the son of Benahai, and Abinah, and the generals of the king's army was Joab."
Praise the Lord. Let's give him a hand this morning.
Y'all pray for me.
Praise the Lord. Thank you so much. What we have in these verses is a list of the officers who served in David's court. Also, the duties each of them were responsible for. Now, you know, it must have been a great honor to have been chosen by the king in a place of service. Just imagine, although we don't always agree with those in authority, but if the president assigned you something, whether you agree with him or not, it is just a place of honor. Amen? But have you ever considered that the Lord chooses men and women to serve him? As a matter of fact, he has given every believer a place of service in the body of Christ. When you go to Ephesians 2 and 10, it says, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works which God has before ordained that we should walk in them." That God has foreordained that we should walk in them. And what a blessing it is to be used by the Lord. It is a blessing beyond compare to be chosen, gifted, and used by the Lord. These scriptures can teach us some lessons about serving the Lord. Each person had a special place. God chooses what we do, where we do it, and to what extent it is done. Nobody else can do the job that you have been specifically designed to do. Each person was called by name. God knows each of our names. He cares for us, and he keeps us up or with his own. Each person is to serve in different capacities. God puts us where we are. We grow where he plants us. If you go somewhere where God didn't tell you to go, you're not going to grow. But wherever he plants you, you grow. If you ever wonder why things are not happening for you and you're not growing, just look where you're at. Are you at a place that God told you to be? We have to search ourselves for things like that. Anywhere that God places you, it is a special place of service. He knows where he can best use our gifts for his glory and for the edification of the whole church. When we look at Ephesians 4, 10 to 13, it says, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body into the edification of itself in love. Could you imagine how your baby toe take the place of your pinky? It can't take the place of your pinky. Amen? So the toe works effectively on the foot. And the pinky works effectively on the hand. We could spend a lot of time talking about all the talents and all the responsibilities that those people had in from verse 27 to 34. But I want you to concentrate on verse number 28. Amen? If you can, could you put verse 28 back up on the board? I want you to look at this man named Joash. There's just a little part of the sentence, a little part of the statement that says what he does. Amen? It says, he was the keeper of the oil. Not only was he the keeper of the oil, but the oil was kept in the cellar. Amen? But he was a man that had a special responsibility, and David trusted him. He was in the cellar where the oils was deposited. Now, olive trees lived for thousands of years. It was a source of revenue for the Israelites. So when you can see the importance of the olive trees and the sycamore trees, and when you see that Joash was in charge, it was somebody that David trusted, but he also had confidence in. But his job was not flashy. It wasn't one that everybody mentioned a whole lot. As a matter of fact, if you go start doing a search on that name, you're going to come up with the King Joash, but you're not going to come up with him. You have to do research to find out what this Joash did. Amen? You might wonder why what you and I can learn from this passage, but we can learn about faithfulness in the service of the Lord. You see, Joash represents much of this church and all churches today. Many of us feel like we're serving the Lord in obscurity. Yet the service that they provide is absolutely essential to the life of the church. So let's look at this man, and I'm just going to preach for a while on this thought. He was the keeper of the oil. Amen? The keeper of the oil. His duty was to keep the oil. Amen? oil was very important. It was used religiously. It was used as lamp fuel. It was an item of commerce. It was something that they brought and something that they sold. It was used as medicine. It was used in cooking and cosmetics. So in that day, the keeper of the oil kept the lights on in Israel. Amen? So can you imagine if the lights in Israel went off, who would they be looking at? The keeper of the oil. Amen? But nobody walked around talking about the keeper of the oil. Nobody even seen him because he's under the basement, in the cellar. Amen? Just like so many things in church, we pay no attention to it until something happened. If you want to live a life that's pleasing the Lord, we got to be just as faithful to him and serve wherever it is that he has placed us. You know, it's hard to stay in the cellar. It's hard to be in the cellar because we like to be seen. Amen? So it's hard to stay in the cellar. But this man stayed in the cellar. It's hard to stay in a place where God has put you because we believe sometimes that we belong somewhere else, that we should have another responsibility. But the Creator who created you knows your gifting because he gave it to you. Amen? So if you want to be in the will of the Lord, then you have to keep on doing what he told you to do and where he told you to do it until he tells you to do something else. Part of this man's responsibility was to watch for intruders. Because we know that if the oil was that valuable and that expensive and that useful, he had to watch out for thieves, amen? He had to watch out for intruders. We need people today that are watching out in this day for the intruders. We need some people that are wide awake, ensuring that the oil of the Spirit is not stolen by the thieves of complacency, of apathy, of worldliness, and popularity. Amen? These are the duties of the watchman. We are the keepers of the oil. We need to have that same kind of commitment today as this man, Joash, had. Because you know what? You're not paying attention, but people want to take your oil. People want to take what God has given you. It would be easy to let our guard down when we're alone and discouraged in the cellar. But know if you're in the cellar, be the best dweller that you can be. There are always disadvantages of jobs, whatever your responsibilities are. Amen? He was unnoticed. It was a thankless job. Everybody else got recognition, but this man didn't get recognition. He don't even have his own whole scripture. He got part of a scripture. But you know what? He just kept on keeping the oil. It was uncomfortable. I don't know how many cellars you've been in, but a lot of times when you go in the cellar, it's damp. It's dark. It's uncomfortable. There might be roaches and rats running around in the cellar. But God placed you there. That's where you're supposed to be. They don't talk about how uncomfortable it is in the cellar that he kept. But if you go all the way back to medieval times and even before that, when you look at the picture of the cellar, when you look at a picture of the dungeons, when you look at the picture of all of that, it is not a pleasant place. I want you to know this morning that God does not always put you in a pleasant place. But because of your gifts, talents, and abilities, and how he has created and designed you, he put you there. Amen? When God does that, you know that God has faith in you. He has faith in your obedience. He realizes that I am putting you in a difficult place. I know it's not popular, but I have faith in you and you have faith in me. When you look at Paul, Paul had to get the faith that had him go wherever God wanted him to go. When you look at Stephen, the evangelist, he spread the word of God, although it wasn't popular. They said, Stephen, who are you? He says, I am an evangelist of Jesus Christ. And this man, Paul, was there when they stoned him. And even when they stoned him and as they stoned him to death, he was pleading to the Lord, Lord, please forgive them. Amen. But I turn around and I look at Jesus Christ, another person who did what he was told to do. And as they laid him up on the cross, as they crucified him, he said the same thing, Father, forgive them. For they know not what they're doing. Amen. Our duty is to deny self and obey the Lord. Just keep the oil. It was lonely down there in that basement. Sometimes God puts you in a position of loneliness. We like to talk. We like to contact people. We like to get on the internet. We like to get on the phone. We like to get in the car and cruise around to go visit people. But sometimes God has given you a responsibility to be lonely. Because when you're lonely, you can hear his voice. When you're lonely, you ain't got nothing to do but pay responsibility to what it is he has assigned you to do. When people are chattering to you, you can't pay attention to what God has assigned you to do. And a lot of that talk is just talk and no action. Sometimes Jesus always went away to be alone. He didn't tell the disciples, come on boys, let's go. He left them and departed to be alone. Amen. When God is turning you around, getting ready to give you an assignment, he separates you for his purposes so you can focus on what God has you to do. And when you do that, you will be misunderstood. You will be misrepresented. But every now and then, even though you think you're alone, even though you think you're misrepresented, even though you're lonely, the King will come down to see you. He'll tap you on your shoulder. He'll send the Holy Spirit. And all of a sudden, you feel all of this glory around you. Because he said he'd never leave you nor forsake you. And when the King comes, you know that all is well and the job that he has assigned you is worth doing it. Amen? It's worth doing it because the King has come to see you. Just keep the oil. His job, Joab's job, it was unappreciated. Have you ever done something that's unappreciated? Oh, hallelujah. And those people who are out front center, they're in the middle of all the attention, they walk by and say, well, how you doing? How's it doing down in that mud? Oh, they got you cleaning cow poop today? Stand over there. But when God has assigned you to do something, oh, hallelujah. It don't make a difference how you smell. It don't make a difference how you look. Oh, hallelujah. We're worried about smell. We're worried about look. We're worried about job title, job responsibilities, how many letters you have after your name. You worried about all of that. But you know what? The PhD person's got to go in the mud. He's got to go in the crap. He's got to do whatever it is that God has assigned them. You know, we get some responsibilities and God has given us some assignments and we say, I ain't supposed to be doing this. Now, I hate talking about my family, but I got a daughter who's got a master's. And she can't get a job that she likes because she thinks when I come out, I'm supposed to get this. I'm supposed to make this much money. Amen? Because I got all of these degrees. I spent all of this money. I'm supposed to be making six figures coming out of the gate. Amen? But God didn't tell her, you're going to make six figures. You're going to make what I give you. You're going to make what I bless you with. Amen? But you know, sometimes you got to start out humbly before you get to somewhere else. Amen? We want to come out on top already. Amen? Instead of building the way up. Don't you know if you get something too soon, you can't appreciate it. You got to be in the outhouse before you get to the penthouse. Just keep the oil. Go on down in the basement and keep the oil. If you think about how great a responsibility is, just keep the oil. His job, Joaz, was just stay there until the king calls. Sometimes our job is to just stay there until the king calls. We don't like to wait. We don't like to wait. We think we got our own calling. But we got to wait until the king calls. Because when the king calls, you're going to get your calling. Stud, we're sitting there. We can't wait to get out of here. Be patient. The Lord teaches us patience. Sometimes we don't have patience. I know I don't have patience sometimes. Amen? But the Lord will teach you patience. Amen? He had to stay there. God is calling us to be faithful until he calls us home. Or until he changes your assignment. On your job, be faithful. And then the other thing that we like to do is we like to come out for no reason. If you're serving the Lord, you are doing the greatest work in the world. If you want to think about your eternal blessings, when you're doing the work of the Lord, there can be no greater blessing. There can be no greater responsibility. There can be no greater charge in your life when you're doing the work of the Lord. So many times people say, I don't know what the Lord wants me to do. Well, close your mouth, button your eyes, get into scripture, do some prayer and some fasting, and the king will come and tell you what it is that you should be doing. Oh, hallelujah. It is a special person who just stay put and serve the Lord. Even when there's harassment. You know, when you serve the Lord, you're going to be harassed. Even when there's difficulties. You know, when you serve the Lord, there's going to be difficulties. I was in contact with Minister Walker this week. And as I thought about and prayed about what was going on, I said, the woman is serving the Lord. So, of course, there's going to be difficulties. Amen? When you're sick and you're in the hospital, if nobody calls you, you can bet that Minister Walker will call you. If nobody come to see you, you can bet that she'll come and she'll see you. If nobody talks to you, you can bet that she'll talk to you. If nobody don't ask you how you're feeling, she will ask you how you're feeling. So of course the enemy want to discourage her. Of course the enemy want to make difficulties in her life. Amen? But you know what? She's still keeping the oil. Oh, hallelujah. If a person takes more care about themselves than the Lord, you're shortchanging yourself. Let me tell you about this person's name. You know, in the Bible, when they gave names, the names meant something. But this person, Joaz, we look at his name, and it don't really seem to mean too much to us. But his name meant Jehovah Fired. Jehovah Fired was a person that was energized by God himself of just doing the job of just keeping the oil. Just keeping the oil. Just keeping the oil. You know, you have to respect what it is that God has assigned you to do. What do you do? I'm just this. You ain't just that. You're not just that. You know, we got people that we're going to call them garbage can, garbage men, sanitation workers. I pick up garbage. But you know what? If I had that assignment, I wouldn't call myself a garbage man. I'd say I'm a sanitation engineer. You could call me what you want to, but I am an engineer. I figure out how to pick this can up without straining myself. I figure out how to pick it up without wasting stuff all around. I got to figure out how to put it in there without getting it all over myself. I'm a sanitation engineer. I am not a garbage man. I am not a sanitation worker. I am an engineer. I have respect for myself, even though you don't. I want you to know today, whatever God has assigned you to do, you better figure something out. You better figure the responsibility. You better figure the importance of what it is that you do. Because if it's not important, God wouldn't have gave it to you. If it's not important, it wouldn't have been here. If it's not important, he wouldn't have assigned you to do it. I want to know today, if you just keep the oil, all is going to be well. God wants your obedience. I want to know today, are you the keeper of the oil? If you're the keeper of the oil today, can you give the Lord a hand? If you're a keeper of the oil today, can you praise the Lord that he has given you an assignment? If you're a keeper of the oil today, don't let nobody know that you're worthy. Know that you're great in the sight of the Lord. Because as a keeper of the oil is a symbol. The oil represents the Holy Spirit. So I want to know, are you the keeper of the oil? We need some saints of God who will be keeper of the oil today. Oh, hallelujah. Can you be a keeper? We need some keepers of the oil that can do some old-fashioned singing, some old-fashioned praying, some old-fashioned ushering, some old-fashioned ministering to the folks outside that need Jesus. Some old-fashioned people that look at an usher and don't look down on them, but respect them for the job that they do. Can we have a keeper of the oil today? Can we respect them because they're in the church cleaning up? We need some keepers of the oil. Too many times, people have assignments and they're keeping the oil for Christ and they get disillusioned because we don't respect them. Are you faithfully fulfilling your duties before the Lord? But there's a couple of things that go along, hallelujah, with being the keeper of the oil. Oh, hallelujah. There's a certain type of servant that can be the keeper of the oil. You know everybody can't be the keeper of the oil. You know that, right? Because to be a keeper of the oil, there has to be some conversion that takes place. There has to be some breakdown of what it is that you are. or who you think that you are. Because who you are in Christ should be different than who you was are. The other are that you are. The other are that you used to be. Come on, somebody. The keeper of the oil. They're humble. Hallelujah. They don't need to be recognized. They got to be willing to do their job. Oh, hallelujah. You say, well, Pastor, what are you talking about? I'm talking about people like King David. Listen to what David said. He was willing to be a doorkeeper. He said, for a day in your courts is better than 1,000. I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. I'd rather be a doorkeeper. I'd rather be a doorkeeper. He was King David, but I'd rather be a doorkeeper. Keepers of the oil, they're helpful. They're looking out for the good of everybody. They're looking out for the good of all. Sometimes we have the keepers of the oil that's looking out for everybody. And then the demon talks to somebody. And that somebody come to the keeper of the oil and say, well, what are you doing that for? Why are you even bothered with that? Don't you know that brother, that sister ain't nothing but trouble? But the keeper of the oil realizes that you were trouble too. You don't come to Christ because you ain't got no trouble or you ain't troubled. We forget where we came from. But the keeper of the oil realizes I'm a sinner just like you. Saved. Redeemed. Picked up. Off the ground. Turned around by grace. The keeper of the oil. They're hopeful. They know that no matter what it is that they go through, that their faith and their faithfulness, I said it because that's two different things. Faith and faithfulness. Your measure of faith will affect your faithfulness. The keeper of the oil know that they will be watered from their king. And it doesn't make a difference whether they're noticed or not. They know that wherever the king has placed them, wherever the king has given them responsibility, they know that they just got to keep that oil. Knowing that you might not see, but the king sees. And has placed them there just to keep the oil. And what they do out of love for their king. We look at the character of Jesus, the Son of God. He washed his disciples' feet. Can I ask you a question? We all work with people. Amen? And sometimes you have people that work for you or you assign responsibility over them. Can you imagine going to your job one day and wrapping a towel around you and wash their feet? and just wash their feet. Their dirty, stinking feet. He washed their dirty, stinking feet. Just washed their feet. They didn't have shoes. They had sandals. They walk in dust and dirt. Their feet were dirty. He got down and washed their feet. He didn't think about who he was. He knew who he was. There's a message in there that when you know what you know, and you know who you are and whose you are. Can I say that again? When you know what you are and whose you are. All of that other stuff don't make a difference. Because he said no weapon formed against you. Some weapons, no weapons. An atomic weapon, a nuclear weapon, no weapon formed against you shall prosper. Teddy Roosevelt said that comparison is the thief of joy. You can't have joy in the Lord when you're too busy comparing yourself to somebody else. I'm going to say that again. You can't have joy, unspeakable, full of glory, when you're comparing yourself to somebody else. Your comparison is stealing your joy. Because you're questioning why them and not me. So I'm going to go back to Bible study this week. And we had a conversation. Oh my God. We had a conversation. And I said, well, what is one of the greatest and first things that the enemy always does to you? What is it? Tell me. What is it that the enemy always does to you? And he's been using this trick over and over. And he's doing it today. Over again. And I just did it to you. But we so blind that we can't see it. The first thing and the first weapon that the enemy used was a question. And when you get those questions spur up other things in your mind. Because the serpent said, do you really believe that if you touch that, that if you eat of that, that's really going to happen to you? Come on. Do you really believe? He placed a question in the mind of Eve. So that question brought up out deceit. It brought out lies. Oh, hallelujah. About what God does and what he will do. Amen. So when you do a comparison, come here, brother. Come here, brother. When you do a comparison and you say, Why is he who he is? Why does he have on this red tie? And I ain't got a red tie. Why did God give him that? There's a question that you're questioning God. Okay. When you look at this brother here, and you say, you know, why did God give him that yellow tie? I never had a yellow tie. I love that yellow tie. I need that yellow tie. That tie would go good with my suit. But why he got it and I don't? You're questioning God. Not only is there deceit and there's lies, there's jealousy. I'm quoting the seven deadly sins here out of a question. Why did God place you here and not me? Why ain't I the pastor? Oh my God. You know, there's something I love to do. I need you to get up for a minute. Oh, hallelujah. I want to laugh, but I don't care. I love to do this. I don't know what I'm doing. But I'd love to do that, but God didn't give me that gift. But I'm not asking why him and not me. You understand what I'm saying? Do we get the point here? That what God gives somebody else with, you can't be jealous of that. Bless him in the name of Jesus, because he's giving you your own. Some of us are in the cellar. But like I said, be the best cellar dweller that you can be. Hallelujah. So I'm speaking to you today. If you feel overlooked, if you feel underappreciated and invisible at the job that God has given you, just look up. If you feel that you have no identity outside being a cook, the maid, the babysitter, at home, whatever, the breadwinner or whatever, just look up. If you feel that you work harder than everybody, but you never seem to be recognized, when you're tempted to let bitterness poison you and harden your heart, remember, Jesus' character was always to look up and find comfort and assurance that his Father always knew what was best. Father, if you will, can you take this cup? He was looking up. Silence. In the midst of asking, he had his answer already. Maybe you might be doing something and you don't feel that you have the recognition from man. Just look up. Be the keeper of the oil. Just keep the oil. Just keep the oil. And our families. So many things are going on. Just look up. He gave you that family. He gave you those people. You can choose your friends, but you can't choose your family. And sometimes, not only will You have to look up. Sometimes you got to just bend down and look up. Because nobody ever said it was going to be easy. Your faith doesn't make anything easier, but it makes all things possible. Just keep the oil. And just keep looking up. Let us stand this morning.